do you know what the three holiest things in this world are? The three holiest things? Here they are. Mackerel, the city of Toledo, cows. Oh, wait, there's four. Mackerel, the city of Toledo, cows, and that which comes from cows. Hi, everybody. Martin's in here. Holy mackerel, holy Toledo, holy cow, and holy the thing that comes from cows. The four holiest things on the planet Earth, this beautiful, gorgeous, oblate spheroid. Well, that's the wisdom of the eon, right? But now we're going to look into Scripture and find out what or who is holy to God. Well, this is a big surprise. The saints in Corinth, I just blew it. Yeah, I said saints. The people of Corinth were holy to God. The people in Corinth in the first century, those who got the letter from Paul addressed to them, were called saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a called apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, and Sosthenes, a brother, must have been a companion of his, they were writing to the ecclesia of God, which is in Corinth, hallowed in Christ Jesus, called saints. Interesting, they're using the word hallowed, the action word, the verb, hallowed. God hallowed them in Christ Jesus, but they're called nouns. They're called saints. I suppose hallowed could be an adjective too, couldn't it? They are hallowed. It describes them, and yet God actively hallowed them, set them apart for his use, and they are called saints, all from the root word hagion. The point is, Paul is addressing these people in Corinth as saints. Now, I would like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to fleshly, as to minors in Christ. Milk I give you to drink, not solid food, for not as yet were you able. Nay, still not even now are you able, for you are still fleshly. For where there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and walking according to man? There was strife and jealousy among the saints in Corinth who were hallowed by God. Three chapters later, this proves that being hallowed and being called a saint has nothing to do with moral perfection. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, absolutely, I love this. This makes me happy. Absolutely, it is heard that there is prostitution among you, and such prostitution which is not even named among the nations, so that someone has his father's wife. It's terrible, but Paul to the ecclesia in Corinth, hallowed by God, called saints, I hear there's prostitution among you. Now, you are Christianity today, the leaders of the Christian religion would say, look, you're either a saint or a prostitute, you're not both. No, not according to Paul, you're hallowed in Christ. Now, dear prostitutes, the guy who's causing this problem among you, the saint who's causing this problem, put him out from among you for a while so that he learned not to do that. Treat him as a brother, though, because he is a brother, even though you're fleshly. Chapter 3, you're minors in Christ. There's still factions, there's still strife among you. Nevertheless, Paul, to the saints in Corinth, those hallowed by God, isn't this fantastic? This is an act of God that declares something to be his. It's about time I give you the definition of the word saint. A holy person, a saint, is one who is set apart to God for his use. So whatever is set apart for God for his use is holy. It simply means that he has made a distinction between those he calls and those he hasn't called. There are people who are not holy, and that doesn't mean they are not moral. Morality is not an issue here. It simply, has God called you, and we talked about this last week, has God called you for a purpose? Has he decided to work with you personally during this eon? And if he is working with you, then he has set you apart for his use. And it has nothing to do with your state of morality. And these verses in Corinthians prove it. Absolutely love that truth. Now, we're going to back this up in the book of Exodus. Exodus 13, and let's go to verse 2. You're going to like this too. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." There is, in one verse, verse 2 of Leviticus 13, a compact definition of what it means to be sanctified or to be made holy, to be called a saint. It is to belong to God. "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." Now, I ask you, what state of moral perfection has an infant reached? Not much, if you've ever seen or handled a baby. They gurgle, they burp, they do naughty things in their pants, and they don't help anyone, they don't serve at the worship service, they're not ushers at the church, I don't believe they help in the nursery, in fact, they're the victims of the nursery, and so this again shows us that being separated to God, or that is being a saint, being sanctified, being set apart, has nothing to do with morality. Oh, for heaven's sakes, I didn't even mention the beasts here. I just noticed this. "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast." So the cows and the sheep and the donkeys and the camels and the asses back there were holy to the Lord. The firstborn ass belonged to God. "Sanctify me." The asses were holy. You have a holy ass back there in the book of Exodus. So if this doesn't get... Maybe they were... Yeah, you're right. Maybe they were moral asses. They might have been moral jackasses. That's right. Well, in that case, I'm all wrong about this. Holy jackass. That's the fifth holiest thing on the planet. Now, as these individuals grew up, no doubt they became moral. I mean, ideally, by growing up, having been set apart, they become moral. But it's important to distinguish the effect from the cause. The effect of being set apart by God, as opposed to those who are not being used and possessed by God at this time, is that you will become a better person by exposure to sound teaching. You will improve morally. It will be at God's pace, not at your pace, but you will improve morally. But that's the effect, not the cause. And I don't want you to confuse those two. Now, you've been separated. You're a saint. Other people haven't. The opposite of being holy is being profane. And once again, we need to be careful to not lend a moral tinge to this. That is, people who are profane, we often associate them bad people, morally terrible people, but that's not the case. A profane person is simply not set apart in this eon for use by God. The nicest guy in the world, the Boy Scout leader who lives next door to you and helps shovel your sidewalk in the winter, if he's not being used by God in a family type sense. I know overall God is in charge and God is his God, absolutely speaking, but I'm speaking of a relationship, an Aeonian relationship. This person might be the nicest person in the world, and yet one is profane if one is not in this saint relationship, the sanctified relationship with God. And once again, this is in accord with the choosing of God, and it means he is working with you. And to show you the truth of this, I'm going to go to a few passages in Scripture showing you that holiness is distinguished from other qualities that are attributed to those who are holy. Jesus Christ in Acts 3:14 is called the Holy and Just One. Now, you see, if holy meant just, then we wouldn't say holy and just. Good point, right? In Revelation 6:10, he's called the Holy and True. Now, we assume that a holy person is just and true, but that's not the case because Jesus Christ is described as holy and just, holy and true. The saints are to be holy and flawless. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5, verse 27. Holy and flawless. If holy means flawless, as is the theological concept, then we can't speak of being holy and flawless. But holiness is the cause, it's the beginning, as evidenced by God separating to himself the firstborn in Israel. And the goal of this is that by God separating you, you will become flawless by his power. Tomorrow, we're going to show you that inanimate objects can be holy. This will show you for sure that holiness has nothing to do with your state of morality. Yeah, that's right. Pots and pans and chairs and altars and even dirt is called holy. And after all, you're made of mud, aren't you? Yes, you're the clay. God's the potter. I'll be back tomorrow, and I trust you'll be with me. This is Martin Zender.